Indeed, his word is eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will remain a constant. Nothing will change the word. Amen. Can we bow down our heads in prayer? I want you to talk to God this evening. Since he's here, he's very much here. He even came before you arrived. And he knows every thought that goes on within you. There's no doubt about this in my head. And let me assure you, you're not going to leave this place the same. So I want you to talk to God, just as you talk to your daddy or your mommy. Tell him he should open the eyes of your understanding. Whatever the difficulty or the challenge or the problem that is stampeding your faith, believe that with him nothing shall be impossible. His word is always true. His word is a reality, a real one. No doubt in my head. Father, we want to thank you for today. This is the day you've made. You want us to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for the gift of life and strength. But for the gift of life and strength, we wouldn't be sitting here. Thank you, Father, for the fact that your grace has brought us that far. We want to commit ourselves into your hands this evening. I will pray that through your word, you speak to us. Lord Jesus, in your name, all of us have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen. Once again, Anna Vyosi. Amen. Last week, I heard a miracle took place here in one of our meetings. A young man came to me. He was the last person I spoke with before I left this place. When you were coming, I told him you should hang in. You should wait. You should wait. Then when he came, is he around? The young man who spoke with me before we finally departed from this place. Okay. He said, in one of our novices, we were praying. And then I walked straight to him and told him, there's going to be a breakthrough. That's all that I said. Then I left. He said, not knowing he had been sick, really sick for some time. He's done all the tests. MRI, whatever. He mentioned some terms. Amen. Yet the thing was not going. Then when I went to him and I said there was going to be a breakthrough, that night, that very night, he dreamt. And the Holy Spirit referred him to, I think, Luke chapter 17 or 18 and gave him a verse. He went there, took that thing. The following morning, the disease, the ailment, had left him. Amen. You see, if you can speak to your mountain, if you can command your difficulty, the Bible says you have authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and of all the power of the enemy. Amen. Our greatest problem is doubt. What did I say? Doubts. We've lived with our sight for far too long. Some of us, you see, the point is that if he doesn't see the thing, it will be difficult for the person to believe. Let me refer you to last week's gospel message. I'll begin from there. That will be my premises. Remember last week, we read some from John chapter 20. You remember that story? That they had met during the first Sunday, first week of first day of the week. And I want to say that anytime Jesus met them post-resurrection, anytime he met them, it was first day of the week. So if, quote and unquote, if anybody should come and tell you that, oh, if you do attend church service on a Saturday, tell the person Jesus also met on the first day of the week. Amen. After all, salvation doesn't come because of the days we meet, but through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. They had met and Jesus came around. Remember, they said the doors were locked, isn't it? But he walked in. And then when they met him, Luke says they became afraid. They thought they had seen a ghost. Blessed are those who haven't seen and yet have what? Fine, believe you have it. But if I misapplied it, if I were to ask you to go and sleep at Usu Cemetery, just one night, you say, have you seen a ghost before? Have you seen him before? But Jesus, we saw him. Isn't it? You're saying, You believe there's something there, isn't it? And if you believe that there's something there, why wouldn't you believe that what the word of God is also what? Equally true. That we find it very difficult to believe. They were afraid. And Jesus asked them, do you have any food around? And they gave him a broiled fish. And he ate it and told them, a ghost can't eat. And yet, when we meet during our festivals, we sprinkle, I won't mention it, for the ghosts who are gone. Amen. And then in the account of Luke, he showed his feet, the nails in his what? Feet, isn't it? But in the account of John, he says his side and his what? His hands. So it makes it complete. Feet, hands, and what? Side. Then the next Sunday, listen, Thomas was around. And he told, oh, Thomas, we've seen him. Yagani, we've seen him. Praise the Lord. If we were today, we'll say that, isn't it? This one, we saw him. He came here. Listen to what Thomas said. If I don't see his hands, and I don't see his side, and Luke says his feet, I won't what? Believe. That is our problem. All the problem we have is stemming from that end. We don't believe. But somebody is saying that if I should ask the person to go and sleep, you know, say, I won't go. None of you will sleep there, including me. I will sleep. Why should I go and sleep at Usu Cemetery for what? Hallelujah. We've been there several times, but if you ask me to go there, I won't what? I won't sleep. And yet, the word of God, which is eternal, we don't believe it. We have a problem. You know, when Mary Magdalene met Jesus for the first time, when she recognized that it was Jesus she was talking to, said, Mary, Rabuni, my teacher, oh, my savior, you are the one who drove those demons out of me. He wanted to hug Jesus. Say, hey, don't hug me. The time is having when we don't need him to be physically around. Hallelujah. Then he told him, go and tell them that I have risen. Then she went and told Jesus that. Yeah. Then the men from Emmaus to arrive. They said, as we walk with him, we even ate what? With him. Praise the Lord. These are evidences showing that Jesus indeed had risen. Amen. Yet, Thomas said, Mobuada. If I don't see the thing, I won't what? Don't wait till. You see, if most of us, if we had announced that Jesus was to appear here this evening, those of you who attend an event, you won't get seats to sit on. Hallelujah. Yes, you won't get. Because those who don't come, what? Not even those of rich, those from elsewhere. I will give you one good example. You remember when they said Brother T.B. Joshua was coming? You remember? There was stampede, isn't it? People even died with their problems. Even though they didn't see him, they were going there with their problems. They died with what? Their problems. Because they were going to see T.B. what? Joshua. That is our problem. We want to see before what? We believe. Most of us behave like Thomas. We want to see. But you see, the Bible says the righteous, the just, shall walk by what? Faith. That's what Jesus has been teaching us all this while. We don't need his physical presence. Our faith and our belief in him should enable us to see him always. Amen. Because last week we learned that his word is what? Eternal. If I were to do a test now and ask one of you random sampling, hey, tell me where I picked that thing. So far I heard you all right, but you see. Hallelujah. It's in 119 verse 89. It's there. Praise the Lord. Our problem is, you see, so far, what you're saying is true, but then Jesus appeared again the third time when Thomas was what? Around. Remember, Jesus said something in John chapter 4:23-24, that a time is coming when men shall worship him in spirit and what? And in truth. God is a spirit. Amen. And yet they had forgotten. Then he appeared again. And he said, Thomas, hey, come. This is my hands. Look at my feet. And he removed his jacket and showed him the place where the scars were. Isn't it? Then look at the exclamation of Thomas. My Lord and my God. See, one of the scriptures I've hung on to is in John chapter 8, verse 58. Can we go to John chapter 8? I quoted it last week. This today too, I'm quoting it. John chapter 8, verse 58. Who has gone to, or have I? Before Abraham was what? In the beginning was what? The word. Before Abraham was what? He didn't say I was. He said I am. Of all the I am, this is one I like most. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life, fine. I'm the good shepherd, fine. I'm the door, fine. Luke 6:35 says, I'm the bread of life, fine. But for this one, I don't have any doubt in my head. It says, before Abraham was what? I am. So, Jesus was telling Thomas, I've walked with you all this while. Don't you know I'm the great what? I am. And he says, wherever two or three are gathered in his name,
I will always be there. So where is Jesus now? He's here. You have to see him with the eye of what? Faith. Then he ran around and told Thomas, you are saying I'm God. Fine, it is true. But Thomas, you see, unbelief is worrying you. Blessed are those who haven't seen and yet have what? That is what we should be doing. So we want to add to. Some will go here, so for there's something special over there. And some will secret something, something. You don't need any secret. Jesus is here. Hallelujah. No need to be roaming about. Jesus is where? And I like what Jesus said in Matthew. He says, and lo, I am with you always till the end of the age. He is with you. Whether you believe it or not, if you like, you can go on the lane called unbelief. If I were you, I would walk on the lane of what? Belief. I would deliberately believe. I would intentionally what? Believe. I'll tell myself, even if my mind doesn't accept it, my faith must what? Accept it. Hallelujah. His word is eternal. He said, because you've seen me, you are believing. But blessed are those who haven't what? Seen me. And yet have what? That is it. Look at the man giving us this promise. Look at him. The Bible says, without him, nothing was made that was what? So what is your problem? Without him, nothing was made that was what? And he was standing in front of Thomas, telling him, you are saying your Lord, fine. But you must believe. Hallelujah. Whatever the challenge or the difficulty might be, you must what? Believe. I'll give you this small testimony. Very small. Normally when I arrived back at home at Mampong, the first thing I do is to make sure my key is placed at the right place. Because when I start packing my books and my destiny, I don't need to be searching for my key. Then last, is it Tuesday or Monday? I forgot to put it where I should. Then my mind reminded me, hey, you didn't put the key there. So tomorrow morning I will do that. After all, I came in late. I was tired. So the books are there. I haven't unpacked them. Normally I will sit and study a little bit before I sleep. Or I take green tea. I take Wellman tablet. Then sleep. Then I will wake up. Oh, yes. Deliberately. Deliberately. Hallelujah. Because sleep is sweet too. This is why it's true, bro. Sleep is what? You've driven all the way to Mampong and you are tired. You sleep, isn't it? But I will remind myself, I haven't prayed though. So I forgot to put the key there. Then in the morning when I finished packing everything and I prayed with you, so mommy too, she will insist we should pray. She will insist. We haven't prayed. Even when I go and sit in the house, she comes and says, your mom pay you. So after the prayer, I hit my pocket. The keys weren't there. I went to the bedroom. There was this similar coat hanging there. And the key wasn't in. I said, hey, it's a neighbor. Where am I going to find this key? No alarm, nothing. Then I went and sat by my bed where I sleep. She sleeps this way. I sleep this way. We slept on the same bed for the past 30 years. In spite of sometimes the differences and the quarrels. Tell me you haven't married before, so what I'm saying is not true. We go through all kinds of things on the bed. Hallelujah.
We go through all kinds of things. I'm reminding somebody who did the same thing yesterday. Amen. Then I ask the Holy Spirit, you know exactly where the key is. Please grant me the remembrance. Direct my steps. Order my thoughts. Give me a mental picture of where I hid the keys. Then he told me, the coat you first sought for the key is not that one. You remember you hanged 3 coats and you hanged the coat you wore yesterday night first, and then you added 2. I said, yes. I went and it was there. I went and it was what? Yeah. This was no secret to something. Oh. Hallelujah. I went and it was there. So the trouble of searching all through the place stopped. So one go there. It is there. I went and it was what? There. Yeah. I'll teach you this before I leave. Praise the Lord. God came down in the person of Jesus. He said, blessed are those. You listening to me. He's added the word blessed. You are blessed. The fact that you've accepted Jesus and believed in him, you are what? Blessed. It's more blessed to give than to what? Blessing is with it. Hallelujah. So if you only believe in Jesus, you are already what? Blessed. Take it from me. He said it. I didn't say it. The word of God said it. That once you believe in Jesus, you are what? Blessed. Put it in your heart. Amen. The fact that you've accepted the word of God, you are already what? Blessed. Now let's jump a step further. Why should we be blessed if we should accept the word of God? Because he says, I am the bread of what? Life. Let me describe it this way. These days, we have a lot of snails and mushrooms around. And I like the ones with a smaller head like this. So when I was coming from Mpraiso, along the Nkoko Road, here in Accra, you see, 15 and 10. But over there, it was 5. I said, 5. I said, yes, 5. I didn't want to display any. So, Fanny and Abraham. Ah, he went and brought all. And they were the small types, eh? Bought all. Then I bought another one. I said, how much? He said, 5. He said, all 5. So, bring them. Then I went and met snails. Amen. And the snails, they were quite cheap, so I bought some. And I put them in and say, as for tomorrow morning, I'll taste some very good pomelo soup. Make sure that this one, there's a dry fish. Hallelujah. Dry fish. Eh? He must steam the dry fish with the, and then the snails too, it shouldn't be soft, it shouldn't be hard. Cut the thing and throw them away. I want them to put the head like that. Then I made sure she did that. So they were flying and jumping. Then I made sure we pounded a very good fufu after they learned. And the days have gone by. Then what makes me happy is that you find the mushrooms and the snails relaxing over there. I mean, some people have their saliva rising up. Look here, he says he is the bread of what? Life. Like a good food, isn't it? He is the word of God. Eat it. How do you eat it? He says, blessed are those who haven't seen me and yet have what? Accepted what I'm offering them, the word of God. Nothing less, nothing what? More. If only you can believe. That's what he says. But our problem is that so far, you see, we've read this several times. I'm telling you, don't behave like Thomas. Thomas wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus is saying the days are coming when we didn't need his very presence. because he's become a spirit. They locked the door and he walked in, indicating that he's no more the physical Jesus. He's gone back to his former state. He can choose. Listen, he can choose to come to you physically. We don't need his physical presence. You have in you enough faith to believe that what he has said is what? True. He's built that thing in you. Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says everybody, every human being, whether Christian or unchristian, has a measure of what? Faith. Again, he says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of what? God. So don't be listening to anything. Sometimes what we hear on the FM stations are garbage. Complete garbage. If anything at all, in our days, nobody's preventing us from reading those Bibles that we have. So if you learn with me, when I see something in NIV, I'll go to Amplified Bible. I'll go to New King James Version of the Bible. I'll refer to you one of the things I found in New King James Bible very soon. You see, so you must build your faith such that there wouldn't be the need for you to see Jesus. Amen. Are you following my argument? His word is just simply true. And if you believe in what he has said, you are already what? Blessed. Because of the blessings that will come your way. Amen. The next thing I'll say is that, you see, because the word of God is eternal. Last we will learn that we should meditate, isn't it? We should meditate on the word of God day in and what? But the next thing I'm going to say is that you must be saying what God is saying. When you go to court, there are lawyers here. You can't just say anything. If you want to buttress your argument very well, you must quote, according to the Constitution, 1992 Constitution, Article 61, clause so-and-so, isn't it? The judge must also know that what you're saying is what? True. That is how you should build your faith. Don't just see you are a Christian and everything is fine. You must grow. You must what? You must what? You must what? You must grow. You must build your faith. Jude 20 says, building your faith. You must build your faith so that you'll be strong. Nobody's saying there'll be difficulties. I bet you there will be challenges, there will be difficulties, all kinds of things will come. But you see, you must be strong. You must be what? Your faith must be what? To withstand the storms and everything that might come your way. If you don't build your faith, and you say, oh, I'm a member of the rich church, I'm a that one, you're not building your faith. Oh. Hallelujah. There's a need for you to do what? Build your faith. Don't build your faith by the things you see. But they're miracles. Somebody asks me, so why is that one you mean Methodist ministry you are preaching? Nothing happens. And those who come, they say this, and people are being slain. They say, look here. Mark chapter 16:20 says, they went and preached the word first. And the Lord was with them second. And the Lord confirmed the word with signs and what? And so if you don't take the word first, nothing will happen. You don't need to see Jesus. But you must believe that he is with you in your room. He is with you in your office. He is with you even in your difficulties, because he says, yet though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is what? He is with us, isn't it? You remove the fear. He's with us. So I keep saying it. I keep reminding myself, God the Father is with me. God the Son is with me. God the Holy Spirit is what? How many of us? Three, isn't it? Plus me, four. And the Bible says, whoever two or three are gathered. So if I'm praying and there's nobody here, I know at least the Holy Spirit is with me. God the Father is with me. God the Son is where? And then Psalm 34 verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord and comes around those who fear him. So I know angels too are around. They are here. They are ready to minister to you. Wait, when we begin to pray, they will minister unto you. Hallelujah.
That is where my faith is. Because once there was a revival, real revival. Then the following night, I dreamt after the revival. The same scenario was seen in the dream. All of us were in white. Then suddenly, I saw Jesus. See, this is the first time I'm seeing him. Then he went around hitting people and they were being slain in the spirit. And when you are slain in the spirit, some men bigger than us will come and carry you and send you to where Jesus was. And he started ministering to those who were there. Then in my head I said, Lord Jesus, me, I want to be a prophet too. I said it in my head. So when you come, give me the spirit of a prophet. He came, he was at the end of it, at those lying over there. A lot of us, but I was at the farthest end. When he came, he dipped his right, this finger, into my mouth, placed it there several times, and then he left. He didn't say anything. I was having a toothache. That was a sign I knew God had heard me. And that toothache was worrying me. When I woke up, that tooth that was worrying me had gotten out of where it was. No pain again. And since that time, when I preach, I can even remember every scripture that I go through, just like that, period. Who told you Jesus is not there? Amen. And we often find Jesus saying, your faith has made you what? Now let's go there. Why is he saying, your faith has made you whole? If you accept the word of God, you are blessed, isn't it? You must walk with the word of God. You must accept that whatever Jesus is saying about you is simply what? True. Amen. If he says, by his stripes you are healed, believe that by his stripes you are healed. Don't listen to what they are saying. Hey, you are going to die out of this disease. Don't listen to them. Amen. Oftentimes, you hear Jesus say, your faith has what? Made you whole. Now, let's go back to it. Why your faith has made you whole. And if you feel like sleeping, tell the spirit of sleep that, let the weak say, I'm strong. I'm seeing some people dozing off because they've just arrived from the office. Hallelujah. You know what? There's something in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Let's go there. Proverbs 18, 21. What is there? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and what? Life. It's in the power of what? So, listen to me carefully. From today onwards, be very careful what you say. Because I would dare say, the Spirit of God is living right in you. The enemy too is standing by. The Spirit of God is living where? And the demons are where? They're standing by. So whatever you say, if it is good, it will happen. If it is bad, it will bring what? Death. I'm not threatening you. It's there. It is there. It says death and life are in the power of where? The tongue, isn't it? Those who love it will what? Fine. Now, if whoever is operating the thing can give me the New King James Version of Proverbs 23, verse 7. Who has New King James Version of the Bible? Can we hear you? Proverbs 23, verse 7. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Hello. As you think in your heart, so what is in here, you say it. What is within is what you say. Because Jesus also says something, Matthew chapter 12,
32:33, abundance of the heart. I'll give you several examples in the Bible. You remember Jephthah said, God, if you grant me victory, whoever will come out of my house first, I'll give that person to you as a sacrifice. Isn't it? He never thought that her own single child will come. What disturbs me is saying, and the Holy Spirit granted him victory and success. God was in it. And then when they heard that Jephthah was coming and there was victory, come and see the daughter. Hey, ready? I'm very sure. Jephthah would say, hey, what did I do? What mistake have I made? Your faith has made you what? Because what is in your heart is what you what? Say. And what you say will bring you life and what? Death. So that if you keep saying what God says, very soon, in Hebrews chapter 4, 12 up to 16, the 12 says that, what does the 12 say? The word of God is what? Living and what? So the word is what? Living. The word is what? Living and what? Alive and what? Active. The word of God is alive. There's power in the word of God. So stop from henceforth. Put some padlocks. What did I say? Put what? Padlocks. On those negative things that do come into your head. And so Jesus comes, why shouldn't I say? You are speaking death. You are prophesying death into the situation. Amen. Because the word of God is living and powerful. Hallelujah. Active, alive. So if you don't know, henceforth, if anything comes your way, your first reaction should be, what is God saying? The producers were saying, Adibi, Ara, Meyenu, Adibi, Ara, Mekano, Meye, Enka, Se, Mibisa, Se, Ebe. It's okay. So if you know, listen to me carefully. If you don't get anything here, at least this one, take it. There's life and death in what we what? Say. The Bible is saying that the word of God is alive, is powerful. So that the moment you are quoting the word of God, you are saying powerful things. Isn't it? Let Iran misbehave. And Obama will go and stand at Seattle or Arkansas or Maryland or New Jersey and say, if Iran dares touch Israel, they wipe them off the surface of the earth. They won't dare. Now, if the American president, they know America, they've got all the wealth in this world, isn't it? Even Russia fears what? America. If Obama speaks, he has what? Spoken. Now, if he speaks and people will listen to him, how much more the word of God? And Hebrews is saying the word of God is alive, is powerful, is active. Amen. Now, let's jump down to verse 14. Let's jump down to verse 14. Now, when I'm teaching you, when I've reached the climax of my teaching, some people have started what? But if I started slaying you in the spirit and moving you around, you won't sleep, you'll be telling yourself, I'm here. What are you? Praise the Lord. See, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus says, let us hold fast our confession. Do you know what? He's the high priest in heaven. So whatever you say, he'll make sure that what you are saying shall come to pass. Are you listening?
He's overseeing what we say. So he says, let's hold what? Fast. What we are saying, our confession, let's hold fast to you, because he will make sure that whatever you're saying, so if you say, by his stripes I'm healed, he will make sure by his stripes you're what? If you don't know, that is the truth. He will make sure. He's the high priest in heaven, overseeing the work of God here on this earth. He says, hold on, you hold fast. Keep on making your what? Your confession. Because there's life and death in what we say. No, jump from death and go to life. And begin saying the things God what? Says. He will make sure that whatever you are saying shall come to what? Pass. Amen. So he says, let us go before the throne of grace with boldness to obtain what? Mercy. So keep on saying the things God says. Amen. What did I say? Keep on. Yes. So, me, if God says that he's the Lord that he lets me, I will say it because he's my high priest there. The other time I referred you to Hebrews 10:23. Let's go to Hebrews 10:23. I'm just reminding you of the things I've already taught you. I'm adding to it, but let's go there. He says, let us hold fast the confession of what? Our hope without. So you don't waver. That suffer. Yesterday, the disease came. When the disease comes, meet it with the word of what? God. I woke up this morning, and there was a burden on my hand. And I couldn't fathom where the thing was coming from. But I knew the Holy Spirit was warning me of an impending difficulty. So I began twisting the antenna, my spiritual antenna. Holy Spirit, where is the problem coming from? He wouldn't tell me. So me too, I kept praying. Anyway, some of you, you say you won't speak in tongues. But I began speaking in tongues. Asking him, what is it that you are warning me on? I kept praying. Then I'll come with my ordinary language. I kept praying up to from, I think, 3:30 up to 5 o'clock. My peace returned. The burden was lifted. But he didn't tell me exactly what the difficulty was. Meanwhile, I had a problem at Tema Harbor. The lay movement of the Methodist Church in North America has sent us some items. I've gone for the waiver. Then when I went to Gapohai, they say, demurrage. Hey, they went and mentioned a fat figure. And my NGO, Methodist Development and Relief Service, they don't have that money. See, that thing had been disturbing me. I went and then I went to the presiding bishop. Gave him my story. He listened to me and then he picked the phone, called accounts, and told them, Paul Edu is coming with a certain thing. Whatever the amount is, give him the money. What? Holy Spirit, I love you. Maybe. Amen. 150 million. Well, where am I going to get that money to pay the demurrage? Suddenly, everything had come back to normal. The burden was off early in the morning. But I didn't know where the answer was going to come from. Then he came there. Come and see me in my car. You know what? God has already made provision for every need. Are you getting me? He's made provision for what? Every need. I want to assure you tonight, whatever difficulty or challenge or problem you have, God has already provided for what? Every need. So tonight, whilst you are living here, let me assure you, someone will ask, and so forth. I pray though, okay? The first thing you should ask is, you remember when Daniel was praying in Daniel chapter 10? He had prayed for 21 days.
And nothing was happening. You remember that story? Nothing had happened. Then after the 21 days, Angel Gabriel comes and says, Daniel, not that God had not heard you. The very first day you prayed, God heard your prayer. I don't know. I'm looking at you. The very first day you saw the face of the Lord, he heard you. Amen. Because you already made the provision. So if you are praying and what you want is not happening, ask the Holy Spirit, what is it? He will direct you. Sometimes it will come quietly. Sometimes it will be a strong impression. Sometimes you order yourselves aright and lead you there. Amen. For example, young lady, two men have come. They all want to marry you. They all look good. Everything is all right. You should ask the Holy Spirit, which of them? Are you getting me? When you can't find your way out, you don't know what to do, ask him. I was in an office this very week. The person is here. We've been praying about something. They suddenly ask you, what is it? Say, go and ask her a certain question. When you ask her that question, the answer will come. I asked the question, and it was like the question madam had been opened. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, something, our fellowship is with the Holy Spirit. So if things are not going the way you want, go back to him and ask him, what is the problem? What is preventing you from giving me the answer? Hello? Are you following me? Because he's faithful. I will hang on him. They sang it, isn't it? But when the problems are coming and you don't know what to do, and it's becoming a little bit compounded, and you say, so I pass here and nothing's happening. I go here and I've done every testing. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is it? It might come maybe a word. It might come maybe an impression. The impression will stay with you for a while. Okay. It might come as a thought. Sometimes it might appear as a vision. Hallelujah. Sometimes it will come like a dream. Amen. But you have an open-ended attitude. That whatever you say, whatever your direction or what, don't tell me yourself, I am there. It is the I am there that is killing us. Hallelujah. Don't go to International Charismatic Church for somebody to look at your face and tell you, the Lord says, the Lord has been speaking to you daily, daily. What did I say? Daily. It's like it's an oversight. The two men, Cleopas and friend, they walk with Jesus, isn't it? They walk with him. They walk with him out to the room, isn't it? They sat with him. When he blessed the bread and who do have, hey, he has been walking with you on that road to Emmaus. Hallelujah. I said, our heart was warmly what? Was strangely warmed when he was speaking to us. But they had not noticed it. It was when he left. I bet you, that problem, God has already spoken to you a long time, but you've not been listening. So it will come in and you must nurture. What did I say? Nurture. Cultivate it. Cultivate the fellowship. Amen. An impression will come. Write it down. Keep a journal. What did I say? Keep a journal. I can recollect all the ways he has spoken to me. I can recollect them. And almost all of them, 99.9%, they are all true. So I don't have to wait till somebody comes to tell me. If you come to tell me anything, it's a confirmation of what I already what. Yes, and let me assure you, when he speaks to you, it must be confirmed. It must be what? It must be what? Yes, so learn to nurture, to cultivate. We say it like the parrot is saying it. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and you must nurture the fellowship. The enemy came and spoke to. But remember when God was speaking to Samuel for the first time, Samuel couldn't recognize that it was God, isn't it? Some of us also have been behaving like Samuel. Then the experienced and matured Eli drew him. Next time when he comes again, by faith, tell him, speak, Lord. Your servant what? So next time when he speaks, you tell him, Lord, confirm your word. He says he walked with them, they spoke, and he confirmed their word with what? Signs and wonders. The signs and wonders alone isn't just like, no. He will tell you something. He will confirm something in your life. He will let you know that he is what? He's with you. But our problem is that we've all grown to recognize that if the doctor doesn't put the drug in a syringe and give it to you in here, he must, there are a lot of doctors are available, isn't there? But the moment, so go to consulting room one, then you ask, who is there? Isn't there? So some young doctor has been placed there. Will you go? You need an experienced person. You need the Holy Spirit to be directing you. Amen. But that's where the job is. Learning to accept that the word of God is true and nurturing the fellowship of what? The Holy Spirit. If we are to do that, very soon you grow thereby. Hello? I said very soon you grow. Hallelujah. Then I also say that a man was praying for a brother. The brother had a problem. Then the Holy Spirit said, he doesn't need healing. He needs a miracle. He doesn't need healing, but he needs what? Then, what was the difference between healing and miracle? Then he was praying with another person. And the person said, oh, the Lord is impressing me with something. He said, so the Lord says he doesn't need healing, but he needs what? And so this is what the Lord was saying. Then suddenly the person they were praying for, oh, they've removed my kneecap and so I can't use my leg the way. Do you know what they did? They began commanding a new kneecap over there. Hello. Because he says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been what? And that whatever he said it, isn't it? He again said, whatever we shall ask in his name, he will what? Right. We are afraid. So for an American king. Hello. You see, there's a funny thing going on. When somebody rains a curse on you, you accept it, isn't it? But when I begin to rain the blessings on you, so I claim it. You believe what God is saying. Hallelujah. You see, claiming it, fine. Yeah, Jay. But Jesus, I'm going to just You invite me to your house and tell me you prepared a very good meal. I'll say, fine, I will come. But it's when the food is on the table, it has been served, and I'm eating, that I know that your invitation is true. And so it's GD, believe. What did he say? G, now then, Z. Some people will say, madam, they'll say I claim. The moment they leave you, so for pa, he doesn't know my problem. He doesn't know what I'm going through. Every now and then, remind yourself. That what God has said is what? True. And if you know it is not working, ask yourself, what is my what? Problem. What is it that the word of God, because already he has made the provision. Amen. We are in the middle of the week, so it's like a lot of you are getting tired. So I'll have to end here. Will you? Come on, sing. So I should continue. I'll allow questions. I'm going to allow questions. That's why I'm stopping. Then I'll carry on from there. So if anybody has any question, you can now ask. And I want to see a lot of hands. Because you see, if there's a problem, if the word of God is active in our life and is not working with you, of which it must work, because what God has said, He has already made the provision for it. Amen. Recently we heard Ghana has gone for the IMF loan, isn't it? But yesterday we were told that the first tranche was hitting the accounts of Bank of Ghana. Today we've heard the managing director of the IMF fund saying that Ghana should judiciously what? But in our case, the money is already in our accounts. In our case, God has already made what? The provision. What you have to do is to believe. What you have to do is to what? Believe. If only you can believe. All things are possible to them that what? It's there in Mark chapter 9, 23. It's there. If only you can believe. If only you can what? If only you can what? Believe what God is saying about you is true, then this is the word is truth. It's in John 17, 17. When you go behind the Greek of the truth, it says your word is real. So if God's word is real, then believe it. Amen. I'm stopping over here. If you have any question, ask me, because I want us to pray for about 15 minutes. So, yes, sir. Can I be asked?
About our hope in the way.
Okay.
And the promises that
God has given us. Yeah.
Jonathan, you were talking about our problem of waiting.
Waiting, yes. Yeah.
And today, also, you mentioned our problem of doubt.
Doubt, yes.
Yeah. Now, it's often said that when we pray, God may give us.
Sometimes. Is it in the Bible that God will may? Can you quote me the scripture?
Well, from what you've been preaching for the past few days, I know that the Spirit, if we properly invite Him, some. The problems that we will go there to.
Yes.
We also know that sometimes when we pray, the answer will be wait.
Okay, well, for the wait.
Yeah. And you said that is where we have the biggest problem.
That's it. The agony of waiting.
Yeah. And also, we know that sometimes God will say no. The request you've made, if I give it to you, you may end up in a problem. Now, with these three situations, you know, getting the answer, waiting, and no, how will you position this in the context of the promises that we have spent so much time, inspiring time?
Let me finish with the no. Before we go anywhere. You see, there was a no in the case of Daniel. 21 days, nothing was happening. But Daniel kept prodding on. Then suddenly an angel came and told him, Daniel, it isn't because God wasn't going to give you the thing. It was because there was something wrong somewhere. Something was broken the answer from coming to you. Amen. And sometimes you find Jesus delaying, unduly delaying. You find him unduly delaying. And I've again said that sometimes it's all because of us and not God. Up to now, a lot of people haven't accepted the blood of Jesus as a propitiation for our sins. A lot of people haven't accepted. We are all here in Accra. Hallelujah. Even though God through his son has made the provision, a lot of people do have their doubts about what the Bible is what saying. So, you see, I have a problem with the attitude of some of us, that if God hasn't given the thing to you, we keep changing churches. That's where the problem is. We keep changing what? Churches. Because you go here and he'll prescribe this for you. You go there and require something. You end up being enslaved to something. Then I'll explain it further by saying that I have a metis minister who was once a bishop. Previously, he had gone into all kinds of fetishes. A lot. Bigger ones and smaller ones. We're all in the full gospel. Then he said he became born again. Then the Holy Spirit came into his life. A lot of things were going on. But somewhere along the line, there were problems. A lot of problems. Then he asked the Holy Spirit, what is it? So go under your bed. What is under my bed? So he went. When he found some small calabashes and small pots, saying, this is it. Hello. See, he moved all and bent them. Suddenly, things began working for him. Some of us might have dabbled in some occultic practices. I bet you it is true. We think we become born again. So those things are not necessary. But you know, the devil too is a covenant-keeping devil. He's a covenant-keeping devil. You pledge yourself, you say you've come here. You see, he will leave you alone. Oh, he will disturb you. Amen. And I have a brother whose father was a Methodist minister. He went to all kinds of things. Now, a lot of things are happening to the brother. And I'm 100% sure, because the father had dabbled in occult practices, the guy is suffering. Amen. Because when there was drought in famine in Canaan in Genesis 22, listen to what the Bible says. It says, because of God's covenant with Abraham, God remembered what? Isaac. Amen. So if you see all kinds of things, we go into all kinds of things, and then the devil too uses as a foothold in your life. I'm very sure of what I'm saying. And if you do that, you struggle to get the answers to your destiny, because in the case of Daniel, he had not doubled in anything, but the prince of Persia. So remember, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? And they will fight you. You were there and you've come here and you think they will leave you alone. Oh, they will fight you. They will let you know that you were here. Another example is we forget that when we've gone there and we come here, we should throw away everything the enemy has given us. At one preach one night, I was in a chaplain at Wenji Secondary School. Then a group of young men came. Chaplain, there's a problem. I said, what is the problem? Around 11 o'clock. See, there's a problem. The lady who is your chaplain, girls, chaplain, is now suffering. She's under attack. So we went there. We prayed. First year, second year, third year, nothing was happening. But we kept praying. Then suddenly, there was this manifestation. Somebody in the girl started speaking. Then we knew we were not handling something that was just easy. Then he said, we should go and call the mother. So we called the mother and he spoke directly. And you know, the voice coming from the girl wasn't the voice of a girl, but a male. Do you know you travel all the way from Wenchi to Temama here? He said, yes. And then you met this lady when the child was 8, Sofumami, at the beach. He said, yes. We gave you a bottle of water. And she told the lady, it is under her bed. She go and bring it. So she brought it. Then she said again, the voice said again, you know we gave you a big candle. It is also the go and bring it. And she brought it. We know we gave you a ring, but the ring, we've thrown it away. We've taken our ring back. You think it's easy? Some of you, those of you who go here and there, be very careful. You can't just play with the devil and come back to God and say, I'm here. Joshua said it. As for me and my house, we shall what? That is it. So if you double somewhere, you need to remove every regalia and everything out of your life. If you don't do that, they worry you. They'll serve as a stumbling block to your prayer life and your faith. I'll give you another example. That with this girl, the least one, she brought everything and we parted with them. Suddenly, health was coming back. Her health began coming back. She was restored. But you know what? So she was going to leave an indelible mark on the girl. Very beautiful girl. She could walk everything. Suddenly, waist down, she was paralyzed. See, let us be very careful. Let us sincerely, I want to appeal to you. If it is Jesus, let it be what? Jesus. If it's the Holy Spirit, walk with him. If you go here and you come here, the devil will demand his pound of what? Flesh. That's where they know it's coming from, because the hands of God are what? Tied. I'm just being realistic with you. That is the truth. You can't go here and be here and stand in the middle. I go to church. If you want to be a believer, be a good one. Hallelujah. I'll give my father's example, my own father. My grandfather walked from Obo to Kintampo, 1900. With my paternal grandmother. Walked to Kintampo. Even now, if you want to go to Kintampo, it's about 8 hours. You go there, you are tired. They walk to the place. They need their children. They went to a certain fetish at Jema. Those who know Kintampo, Jema, from Jema, you go to Kintampo. Fine. They did everything over there. And my father and his brothers came. Then the Methodist Church came from Wenchi to Kintampo. And my father and his senior brother joined the Methodist Church. So out of the teachings and prayer, they decided not to go there again. Then my grandfather, Yawadu, went to the fetish priest and told him, these his two sons, they've made Jesus and they don't want to come again. They were going there every Saturday. They were not going there Sunday, so they were going there Saturdays. Listen to what the fetish priest told my grandfather. I wrote my father's biography. Said, what is in the children is bigger than his. So you should allow them. Strangely enough, my father's younger sister stayed with my father and she became a Christian. The next one decided to follow the fetish. All his sons became mad before they died. You can't double with the devil and have your cake and what? Eat it. Then the next one after my mother, the one I'm talking about, was named after the fetish. Every male child, 40, the boy, the person will bleed and off. Three of them. The only one who survived is the one who gave his life to what? Jesus.
Then the one after my father went and married a fetish priest. ADA. You see, the devil is no good. Oh. Ha. He will make sure something wrong goes. He too, the same thing. The children will be there. The men, they will be there. And suddenly something will happen. They will die. The only surviving male is a leader in the Methodist Church. Her only daughter who has survived was the one who stayed with my father. This one, she's about 61. No male has ever proposed to that lady. For even her to get a child to say, this is my child. So, Lamentations chapter 5, verse 7 says, our fathers have sinned. And we are what? Paying for it. Sometimes the no isn't just a no. It isn't what? A no. It is something else. Something might have gone wrong somewhere. Somebody might have gone to make some covenant somewhere. I know of a house. The father was a fetish, the grandfather was a fetish priest. There were two women. The fetish priest married some two women. The daughters who are of the same age from this side and this side, one was fortunate enough. A chorister has one child. No man has ever proposed. All those who come are married men. All those who come and are good, they will fly out. They won't marry the lady. Up to today, she is single. The other one, on the side of the divide, the other woman's daughter of the same age, three men have married her and all have died, including a judge of the appeal court. I'm seeing it. Sometimes the no isn't just an easy what? No. Let us go behind the what? The no. And see, so this all that is happening that I'm suffering like this. Then when you know it, you must be able to stand firm on your feet. After all, Revelations 12:11 says, we shall overcome the enemy by the blood of what? The Lamb. The blood of what? The Lamb. The blood of what? The blood of what? You see, many of us, some of us, our parents and ourselves have dabbled in some of these occultic practices. And a lot of things are happening to us. They will tell you, oh, so far it isn't anything. He doesn't deal with it. Before you could say Jack, they put you in there. Amen. So tonight, he's asked a question. And I could go on and on and what? And on. I want you to do a retrospective view of your life. Go back home and ask yourself, what is it? What has gone wrong somewhere that I'm suffering from it? You shouldn't suffer. That you pray, and no answer what will come. Somebody must have done something wrong somewhere. Yes, sir. Madam. Reverend, you have an English name.
A Scottish one.
Campbell, Scottish one.
It's a Scottish one. Ezekiel 18.
Uh-huh.
From 18:18. He said, the fathers will not eat sour grapes for their children's teeth to be set on edge. So
the fathers have eaten
sour grapes.
Yeah.
And the children's teeth will not be well.
I know what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
So it goes with what I'm saying.
So please, can you explain?
No. Our fathers have, you see, our fathers, some of our fathers, I would say some, they've gone and they've done so many wrong things. They even didn't tell us. I'm saying it. They didn't even what? Tell us. But for the interview, I was writing a short essay on my father's work in the north. And I was trying to probe to know what was going on. And he started giving me all these pieces of information. Our fathers, listen, madam, our fathers have done something wrong. Sour grapes. Grapes shouldn't be sour. Grapes should be what? Sweet. And our teeth shouldn't be put on the edge.
our fathers have done something wrong. So anything that is bitter is wrong. They've gone for the wrong things. Yes, go ahead. Yes.
Is the one who will die. Uh-huh. The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child.
The one who does what?
The one who sins uh-huh. is the one who will die.
Mm-hmm. The soul who sins shall die.
Exactly. The child will not share the guilt of the parent.
Nor the father bear the guilt of the son.
Will the parent share the guilt
of the righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself.
Exactly.
But you see, madam, if you are not fortunate, listen to me. If you are not fortunate, you are fortunate you've seen the Lord. So your father's sins won't come on you. You are what? Fortunate. That's why you are being taught. So that if it is there, tonight, when you go home, we'll pray. When you go home, go and tell. Remember some of the things. Me, when I heard this, I heard what my father told me. I told myself, me, I'm taking myself what? Out. Hello. There, I gave my life to Jesus. On the 21st of August 1982, I gave my life to what? Then I told myself, if there's anything out there that might affect me, I nullify it, I cancel it, I abrogate it, I take myself what? Out. Amen. Amen. Because Achan went and took the gold. And when he went and took the gold, he took it. Hello? But something went wrong. Something what? Went wrong. So, you see, the soul that sins shall what? Shall die. But you see, the moment you give your life to Jesus, you are covered. Because last week I told you that in Galatians 3, 13, he became a curse for us. But madam, there are a lot of us. Our fathers have sinned. Do you know what they call it? Tradition. Meanwhile, you'll be sitting there and they'll be pouring libation. And they'll be calling the 77 demons in your family to come around. Madam, yes.
2 Corinthians 5:17.
Uh-huh.
If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation.
Uh-huh.
The old have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when you come in Christ, then going after what your fathers and these people did, must you do that? When you're a new creation and all have passed away.
You know all have passed away. But we sit down passively. We sit down what? Passively. And we allow them to perpetrate what we know is wrong. We perpetrate it. I told myself I would never be part and parcel of what? So they know my stand when they are doing those things. They know I won't be there. They call me Pope. They call me Cardinal. I say, fine, I'm Pope. I'm Cardinal. I won't be part and parcel of God. I know the truth. And if you know the truth are what? That is it. If the Son shall set you free, we shall be what?
Free.
There's a passage. I think it's either in John chapter 6, verse 63. What is it? John 6, 63. Come on, is it in the Bible? Or John chapter 8, one of them. I'm not very sure. But John chapter 6, verse 63. There's something there. It's not in 663, it's in 863. Whoever it is, let's find it. Except for, if anyone is in... No, not this one. John 6.
The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the spirit.
The spirit what?
Gives life.
So if you give your life to Jesus and you continue to remain in him, okay, you have life. But be very careful. Once you come to know the Lord, you don't go back to those things. You're neither here nor what. But Jesus says you either have to be hot or what? But some of us were in the middle. Want to please everybody. So when Christians are moving, you do what? And when they are doing their things, you see yourself, you know, tradition shouldn't be. Some of the traditions, I wouldn't agree. Amen. The moment they begin to pour their libation, I will what? Walk out. And I even go to the saying that if they should mention my name as part and part, I use the blood of Jesus. I'm not part. Hey, I'm not there. Praise the Lord. I will do everything possible to abrogate it. I won't be there. Yes, sir, big man. Go ahead.
All that you are saying is very true. I have a short testimony. I remember one time in my town, they call all those who are in certain position that we should come home. So we all went, and they went to the shrine. And then they gave us two of these things they call chalk. You know, they say the things the people, they say when they are they gave us two each to keep with, to keep for ourselves. And then we were told that wherever you are going, if that thing turns red, don't go. So we all took it. And then I was a ship's captain. I took it and put it in my suitcase. And one time we were going to Japan and we got into a terrible storm. So I said, oh, may I go and look at this thing? I said, oh, if I look at this thing and it turns red, what am I going to tell the crew? That I've seen something red, so we are no more going to Japan. We have to go back. But thank God, it took us safely to Japan and to San Francisco, all over crossing the Pacific. And we came back. Later on, I became a born-again Christian. But deep down, I was afraid, oh, if I get rid of this thing, what will happen? So I came back, and it was in my suitcase. And this time, I'm a born-again Christian. And one morning, my son came. And then he said, something is wrong. And I said, what is wrong? And then he has a small book, and so I gave it to him. Then you open it, and you open it, and the thing said, you cannot serve two masters. My son, a young son, read this, and then went away. So I told my wife, you see that red Samsonite there? There's something inside. She didn't know all along that there was something inside. So we're going to get rid of it. And I called the full gospel members, and they came. But prior to that, the man who gave us this thing said he was going to smuggle, and the thing read and turned red, and he went and he was caught. I said, oh, is that right? It's going to protect you. And so we called the full gospel members. They came, and then they took the thing away. And for 30 minutes, I was speaking in tongues nonstop. I'll tell you, if you're hiding something in your, if you get rid of it. And that's where all the deliverances came in. And so many things. I'll tell you something else that happened. That's what we do at Full Gospel. When we were young, I had this blood covenant with a girl I thought I was in love with. And later on, the Spirit began to tell me to cancel that thing. And in the Full Gospel, we have what we call deliverances. And I think it's also very good. You disabuse and cancel all those things in the name of Jesus. And because he said, when you are saved, you and your household will be saved. So I did it. And then, but I didn't know where this lady was. But I realized that they said anytime she had a baby, the babies became paralyzed. Every time she did it, she became paralyzed. Until later on, I saw her. And I gave her, in fact, when I saw her, she heard that, she knew where I was. So I said, kneel down, let me pray with you. And she surrendered to Jesus Christ, and broke all those things. All the children later on, they are all very strong and healthy. I'm telling you all this to tell you that our Lord is good. But you cannot go on hiding those things. You have to break it completely. Amen. As you said, you can't put one foot here.
And put the other foot there. No. You see, some of us have assumed that, oh, we are Christians. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't, you see, he quoted Acts chapter 16, 31. The jailer asked him, what must I do? He said, accept Jesus Christ
and you and your household shall be what? Shall be saved. In the word salvation, when you go near it, when you go to the Greek, one of the meanings of the word salvation is deliverance. It's what? The Lord will deliver you. He'll remind you that you, there's something over there. Go and remove it. If you don't remove it, it will worry you. It will worry you. It will disturb you. In fact, it will cost you so much. I said the other time over here that a lady's father, the grandfather was a fetish priest. The mother was an elder child. The father, who was about to die, gave the thing to the mother. The mother said she was a presbyter, so she can keep them. So he gave it to the younger sister. Listen. Then every year when they are going to eat their yams, the mother will go and provide for the mother. A kwesi ko. Chu jinan kuntia. Ubi ubi ana kwa chesu kuten diem. Hallelujah. Anytime the sister had a baby, 1 week pepe asram. The nose will block and the child will die. 3 times. Then my wife came and told me, this is a medical secretary. She's suffering. All the children are dying. So I called her, come. Then I said, what is your problem? What is it that, can you give me your background? He said, my mother's father was a Tigari fetish priest. And when the man was dying, he gave all the regalia and everything to her. She accepted them. Then she also gave all the regalia to the younger sister because a Abusian property. Hello. Yeah. Not knowing the devil was also saying, I'm yours. So I'll take your children. Then we said, I said, okay, fine. We are going to nullify any agreement and any covenant that exists. We don't have to go to Atibubu. We're in Wenji. In the spirit realm, there's no distance. Are you getting me? So we took the blood of Jesus and nullified everything that existed. I said, to prove to her that what we have done is right or true, we're going to ask for a male boy. We prayed and she conceived. She gave birth 1 month, 6 months, 1 year. The child survived. See, Sofu. I said, Sofu, not only this, we're going to ask for a girl for you to know that what we did the other time was true. She conceived again. She delivered baby girl. Listen, then she was watching. 1 week, 1 month, 8 months, 1 year. The girl what? If we had not broken that covenant, the devil would have taken his pound of what? Flesh. Using the blood of those children to pacify what is on the... You see, the word of God is spirit. Isn't it? The devil too is what? Spirit. Just as God keeps covenant, the devil too does what? Keeps covenant. So let us be very, very what? Careful. Let us be very, very careful. Maybe you haven't. But your father or your mother and your grandparents did something somewhere along the line. You can ask the Holy Spirit to give you a recollection of those things and direct you. You see what will happen. Some of these things, we joke with them. But that is the simple truth. The man has asked a big question. The no, you must know the no behind what? The no. Why is God feeling reluctant to help? A certain lady went to one of these quasi ministers, spurious ones, asked the lady to slaughter a sheep in front of her saloon. Yes, Osofu, pigeons and so and so. So if you go for the pigeons and the rest, be very careful. I'm speaking to somebody over here. You go there clandestinely and then give the thing, come and sit here. I'm looking at you. Hallelujah. We've gone there several times. Oh, the brothers, the men, you.
Wait, let me finish. You see, the truth of the matter, Auntie Dr. E, is that we do these things. God is merciful. God is compassionate. He won't say anything, but you suffer until you recant, until you tell yourself, they did this thing and it's working against me. I will stop. I will take myself out. Why did Joshua say, as for me and my what? Why? His emphasis was there. He said, you are doing the thing. The gods, some of you brought the gods from what? And remember, God had done everything for them. They saw the miracles, isn't it? They walked through the dry land, isn't it? They walked through Jordan, isn't it? They saw the miracles, and yet some were carrying those things. Even Rahel. You remember Rahel? He carried the father's what? Gods. And do you know what Rahel said? That whoever this thing that you, father, you are searching for, whoever that the thing is, we should die. She cursed herself. And out of Benjamin, she died what? She died. Look at Dinah. Dinah, free girl. Nothing in her head. She was bringing forth. She cursed herself. And she said she was quote unquote. You know what she said she was doing? She was going through. And she cursed herself. The family God, she was sitting on it. And it turned out to be a curse. Hello? Let me warn you. I'm warning you. If you're in these things, please what? Stop.
Thank you, sir, for just a little contribution, if
yes,
I may.
You should.
Yes. Talking about, is there ever God saying no? In 1 John 5 and 14 and 15, he says, this is the confidence
that we have
if we ask anything
according to his will. Yes.
So, of course, Sofo, if I'm sitting here and I ask something that is not in the will of God, I should not expect him to give it to me.
Yes.
You know, so sometimes we must also ask ourselves, what it is that we are asking God for. I know a situation where, some things that ought to have been done right, that didn't get done right, have caused a problem. And of course, those who didn't act right are praying, but would God listen? He won't. So I think that sometimes, in addition to going back to what may have been done, which
past,
we have not taken ourselves out of, we could also be asking for wrong things. I know some of us, even though we are Christians, we want to use the wrong methods for achieving goals. And God will not listen. He will not, his name will not be defiled. So that you go and stand somewhere and say that it is God who enabled me to do it, when it is your own scheming and lying and so on. So it won't happen.
Madam, let me support what you've just said.
Thank you, sir.
My own sister, the one I come after, he wanted to marry a certain man. My father asked the first question, is he married? My sister said, yes. Listen to me. But my sister wanted to convince my father that the man has married from other tribes and that the family say he must marry a Kwau woman so that some of his children could be of the Kwau blood. Before my father could see Jack, he had gone ahead and impregnated himself with a man. My father said no. My sister said yes. Fine. One day she was having a bath. Very beautiful girl. Of all my father's children, she just comes after my father. Black, pointed nose. Me have a fatty nose. Big one. Hallelujah. From Salt Pond. Praise the Lord. You see, when I'm growing, I'm having his forehead. I have a lot of hair over here. But that, my sister, the moment you see my sister, you know it is Reverend Paul Edu's daughter, very beautiful, brilliant. At the age 40, she was taking a bath. Suddenly she felt weak. Half of her body gone. Up to today, she hasn't recovered. What kind of prayer didn't we pray? We prayed very well. We fasted very well. But she had disobeyed my father. If she had listened to my father, that problem wouldn't have what? Come. Later on, realized that the woman she had gone into her marriage wasn't the easy type. Hallelujah. The woman had gone somewhere to punish my sister. And because she was doing something right, it wasn't the will of God. Go to... Hello. You see, so it's a difficulty. Someone will see that, okay, Sofu, you're still asking questions. So we are finished.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
I want to go back to the unbelief and lack of faith. I believe that unbelief or lack of faith constitutes a major barrier to our experiencing God's promises.
Okay.
When Jesus went to Capernaum, a Jewish community, he could not perform his usual miracles because of...
Or even at Bethsaida and his own town, Nazareth.
That's right. He couldn't perform. But when he went outside to Philippi also, a Syro-Phoenician woman, believed and he received the healing for her daughter.
Okay.
Right. Jesus' own disciples, when they were with Jesus and Jesus cursed the fig tree, you know, withered. But then, Jesus told them that if you have faith like mustard seed, you can do all sorts of things. Yeah. So, I want to find out if this type of faith or this kind of faith, the mustard seed type of faith, is dropped in our heart or do we cultivate it?
Oh, no. I quoted Romans chapter 12.
Thank you, Papa.
Verse 3, that everybody has been given a measure of what? Faith. But your faith will grow by feeding it with the word of God. Your faith will grow. And I've just told you that as we begin to utter the word of God, what you said about the fig tree withering, Jesus went down to say that have the faith of what? The God kind of faith. That if you have a mountain, you can command the mountain to what? Move. If you do not have any doubt. But you must believe because you must be saying the things that you are saying. And you shall have whatsoever you say. Then the verse 24 says that if you pray, believe that you have what? Received. Because what God has said is what? True. So you keep saying what God says. And let's see what will happen. And I've quoted Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14. That we have a high priest. If we keep saying the things that we are saying, I would not waver. He'll perform. Hallelujah. But like our big brother said, sometimes the agony of waiting. I wait. You keep saying. You see, you quoted that woman from Matthew chapter 15, 21 to 28. Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon. And I was just saying, Dr. Aida, sometimes you should behave like Jesus. You get out of the city and go to Thai and sit there. Even when we want to hide as a prophet, they will chase you there. Someone will meet you and say, can you sing me one of your good songs? Hallelujah. The woman went to Jesus three times. The first one, the Bible says Jesus didn't mind the woman. He didn't. But something happened. He went again. And then the answer Jesus gave wasn't that encouraging. He says, the food that is meant for the children shouldn't be given to what? The dogs. And he again said, the second answer, he said, he was sent to the lordship of what? The woman too was a Gentile then. So, legally she was out. Then he went into scripture. The food that is meant for the children shouldn't be given to what? But the woman went back. Went back 3 times. And went another time, again by saying that the food, the crumbs, even the what? The crumbs. The little drops. The dogs what? Eat. Jesus looked at the woman. Woman, great is what? So that, you see, don't just stand there. The other time I gave you one statement. Persevere with determination. Once you know God has spoken, He will definitely what? Do it. I think you are taking your offertory. So I'll end here. When somebody is saying that, yes.
So, sir, considering your sister, the Bible says when we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John 1:9. Yes. If your sister confesses,
she did. But she's not a very strong Christian, but
it didn't work.
Oh, madam. You see, God is sovereign. I'll put it that way. God is what? Sometimes sovereign. Let me give you mine. Way two. My father said, do not travel. 3rd April. It's about 33 years now. We went to our father and we told him we're going to travel from Nkoko to Accra. He said it bluntly. For the next 2 weeks, do not travel. Listen. For the next 2 weeks, do not what? Then I obeyed my father. Listened to him. I didn't go. 3rd April 1982, at dawn, my brother came to me to collect money. Goku, Morocco, say, you take the lead, I'll come. My brother is taller than me, and he was very, very stout. My father is about 6'4". He took after my father. I'm short. Considering my father's height. He met this driver and said, young man, you are tall and stuff, so come and sit on the first seat. When the policemen see you, they will allow us to go. Teacher man take, bam! All the 33 passengers died, including my brother. And I saw my brother on the 6th of May, 1982, at Fridge 4, Kolebu. And I said, hey, so if I had trouble with him, I wouldn't be here standing speaking to you. Why? I asked myself, God, why did you spare me? We're going to go. I had the money. He came for the money. Why did you spare me? I told myself, God must have a reason for which he kept me alive. And I know. And I know why God kept me alive. So sometimes we can't really understand all that God is doing. Mr. Benansko, sometimes we can't understand why God is saying no. But the greater portion of the whole thing is that God knows why. God knows what. And I'm giving you some of the aspects of the no. That one, we can do something about it. The ones who can do something about it, let us do it. Amen. Now we're going to pray. At least we're going to pray that. Go back to your mother's home. Go out to your father's home. Go back to your husband's home. Go back to your wife's home. You yourself, consider some of the places you've gone. We still have that blood flowing from Calvary. It is not a spring. Jesus said, streams of living what? Water. Rivers of living water. The blood is still flowing. And we want to pray that if there is any covenant that has stood between us and our blessings, hello, let us apply. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let us apply the blood everywhere. Can I hear you pray? Apply the blood. Nothing has stood between you and your blessings. You know very well. You know very well those blessings should have come your way. But there's an unexplainable things going on. But tonight let us apply the blood. Let us apply the blood. Let us apply the blood. Any covenant made of which you weren't part and parcel of it, and yet you have eaten sour grapes. Any utterance somebody made somewhere, some incantation, some spell, we'll close at 8. But let us pray. Go back home. Your name has been placed under a particular fetish. You were named after a particular fetish. You are not part and parcel of it tonight. You've been in some occultic organization. There, the Bible is there, and yet all kinds of practices. Take yourself out. Take yourself out. Initially, you thought it was okay. But tonight, let us understand the fact that God is a jealous God. God is a jealous God. God is a jealous God. He won't share His glory with any being. We'll close at 8, but I want you to pray. Look within and look without. The blood of Jesus is still available. We shall overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. I want you to pray. Some of us have survived even though we came born again. God has spared us. God is waiting for you to apply the blood and nullify, cancel, abrogate. If any man has placed his mouth on you, that you are his wife, and yet whatever is preventing you from receiving from the Lord, let me assure you, God has already made a provision. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing. Your healing. He became poor. He did it for Rebecca when she even didn't know that Isaac was there waiting for him. Your Isaac is out there waiting for you. God has already prepared your Isaac. You say you are barren. He says, none shall have miscarriage nor be barren in our land. He's made a provision. You are poor. He says he became poor, that out of his poverty we might be rich. But go down there in the family lane and in the spirit pray that if there's anything out there that has stood against your progress in life, your marriage in life, your business in life, maybe even the premises you find your business in, has been given to the enemy. Certain things were planted over there. Set them ablaze with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Cover the place with the blood of Jesus. He's already made a provision. You've sat in family meetings and libations have been poured. You were there. Some were not even there, but they did it. Hey, take yourself out. Can we sing this song prayerfully? Mojani mo. Mojani mo. mojanimo na chumbiwo mojanimo 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 na chumbiwo ambala Jesus. God went out there to evangelize. Then in a dream, the Lord revealed to him that his family was going to be attacked. So he used the blood of Jesus as a wedge around his home. So he prayed and used the blood of Jesus as a wedge. He arrived home and two dangerous foxes attended jumping the iron fence and had died. And the Holy Spirit said, these are the demons that were sent. Are you hearing me? The blood of Jesus can do anything. I bet you the blood is still fresh. Jesus opened the curtain, went into the Holy of Holies with his blood, and was accepted by the Father. And he rose and took captivity captive and set us free. The blood is still available. And I want you to apply it anywhere at all. Anywhere at all. Wherever it should be applied, do so tonight in the name of Jesus. The word of God was written by the Holy Spirit. I want you to pray. Pray. Severing every link. Don't be afraid. For the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I arise a war. I arise a war.
Jesus ni mo jani mo
mo jani mo mo jani mo
mo jani mo
ayarisa na ayarisa wa mo jani mo Mojani mo, mojani mo, let us do something. Romans chapter 8:11, it says, if the Spirit of the Lord who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he will give life to your body. So we're going to apply the blood. We're going to do what? Apply the blood. If there's anybody who is sick and is not here, Psalm 107:20 says, he sent forth his word and the sick was healed. Psalm 118:17 says, I won't die, but I'll live. So we are sending the word of God to our six sisters and brothers and sons and daughters who are not feeling well. The Lord should send his word. The blood must be applied. Let us pray. Psalm 118:17. Psalm 118:17. It says, I won't die, but I will live to declare the works of the Lord. Psalm 107:20 says, He sent forth His word. So if there's a sister, a brother, a mother, an uncle who is not feeling good and is sick, pray, applying the blood. Pray that the Lord should send His word to whoever the sick brother is, the sick sister who is with us. Amen. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. You sent your word and you healed all my disease.
I am the Lord your healer.
Amen. I've told you that we have a high priest in heaven who will see to the confirmation of His word in us. Now, if you are sick, let's go to Exodus 23. Verse 25. He says, you bless our food and our water, and you take the sickness from the midst of us. So tell the Lord. And verse 25, 26 says, none shall have miscarriage nor be barren. Let's pray that the Lord, it says, so shall the word of God be. You bless our food and our water. He will take the sickness from the midst of us. We are asking the Lord should take, He should take the sickness from the midst of us. Can I hear you pray? I'll pray with you. None shall suffer miscarriage, nor be barren. That is the word of God. 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 You take the sickness from the midst of us and command barrenness to go. Command miscarriage to leave. Release your children into your wife's womb. Command them to be in there. He says, we shall be fruitful and multiply. So ask that the Lord should cause the two of you to be fruitful. The Lord should cause you to multiply. He will do it. That is His word. Amen. Oh Father, we want to thank You for tonight. Your word has come forth. In Isaiah 55:11, You said your word will never go out and return to You for it. Lord, confirm Your word in Your daughters and Your sons with signs and miracles. Let them know that we serve a living God, because Your word is alive and active and powerful. We've come before Your throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace. Lord, as we leave every burden here at the feet of the cross. The storm that is raging, still it for us. The lack meets that need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we have our individual challenges and problems. There is nothing that is hidden before You. Your name is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. Spirit of the living God, You said You are very present help in times of trouble. We ask You to come in boldly and bring deliverance to Your children. If there's any covenant anywhere that we've forgotten, we'll nullify it with the blood of Jesus. You said, if the Son shall set you free, one will be free. So Lord, I declare them free. I declare them free. I declare them free from any bondage, from any curse, from any spell, from any incantation, from anything that is done where that we don't know. We set them ablaze with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, prevail. Thank you once again. Keep us in the night as we sleep. Protect us and camp around us. And if by your grace tomorrow morning we have life and strength, we will bless your name. We've all prayed in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.